good afternoon and welcome to a piece of the action coming to you live from the Royal Adelaide Show. The POTA team has been completely replaced by au pairs that have overstayed their visas, but thankfully Mr. Dutton has intervened and given us stopped us from getting a rough deal. So so we're joined with au pair Sue from the show and Zreba.
Hello.
Hello.
And we've also joined by Nicola Pickering.
Nicola. You said you wouldn't get that wrong on the air.
I totally did. Before we get started, we need to acknowledge that we are broadcasting from Kaurna land. We respect all elders past and present, and we highlight the fact that sovereignty of this land has never been ceded.
And we're also here on 5 days short of our 13th anniversary of presenting a piece of the action. And I was just thinking, I said before that we've got all the same people, but we haven't. There's only Stephen and I that were in the original.
From the original team?
From the original team, yeah. Oh. Yeah, so, but 13 years, that's a long time.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'd like to start off by thanking Nicola for coming in today. And we actually met, if you can say it that way, through Chooks SA.
Yes, that's right.
And what do you think of Chooks SA?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. And I think I owe so much of the success I've had just this year to Chooks SA. It's a really wonderful group of women, women-led businesses who are really very willing to support each other. And I think that means so much in our current state of affairs.
And it's a real pleasure to be part of that group, isn't it? And to be able to share. And here we are on the radio talking about it. So how good is that? But I put it out to Chooks. Does anybody want to come into the radio and talk about their startup business? And Nicola took it up. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your startup business?
Sure. And it's funny, you know, I saw that and I had that imposter syndrome moment immediately. And I said, well, that's not for me. There's so many other wonderful people. And I waited, and 5 hours later, no one commented. So I jumped on and here I am. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
And then everybody commented afterwards saying how good it is.
Well, kudos to you and to all of you for having this wonderful show. So my social enterprise, or our social enterprise, is a small team of four of us, is called Conscious Living Project. And, you know, we believe that a lot of the problems as individuals and in our community on our planet are due to disconnection. And so we want to create opportunities for people to connect with themselves, the community, and Mother Nature as well. So this is something that's probably been bubbling away in my conscious/subconscious for many years. And now we want to really bring this to Adelaide, and the purpose of it is for that level of connection and for it to be very grassroots, very localised to Adelaide and what's going on here.
Now, Nicola, you mentioned the term social enterprise. Do you mind letting us know what that means for people who haven't heard that phrase, perhaps?
I was just at an event on Friday night and we talked about how it's one of those words that has so many different meanings. Yeah. So to us, it's really about being in business and generating a profit, but to be doing good things in the world. So having a positive impact on the community and the environment alongside running a business the same way that anybody else would. Mm. So I feel like I'm on a wave of this type of business coming to the fore, and it's really the way that we will see significant change in our country and in the world.
The idea is to have a social impact.
Absolutely.
A measurable social impact. And have you got a measure at all that you can use?
We are pretty early days, so we're not we haven't launched yet. We'll be launching in February, but we're looking to use some of the models already being used in South Australia, like the Perma Plus model. So we're looking at well-being. So how much does what we're doing impact on individual well-being, and how does that flow onto the community as well?
So can you tell us a little bit about that model?
I really don't think I am probably well positioned to comment on that, but I think important to that, and what stands out to me, and what our how we align, is this sense of belonging. And I think that's really significant when it comes to a strong community. How people feel, how connected they feel to the place that they live, and their ability to express themselves for who they are and feel really comfortable to do that. There's a very high portion of our community that is on the fringe and don't feel like they belong. And it's, you know, there are studies, I don't know if you know the author Brené Brown, she released some research recently in one of her books that loneliness and isolation is just as bad for our health as alcoholism, you know, and smoking. Like, it's way up there with health concerns. And I think if we can do something for that, it's going to have a flow-on effect in a really positive way.
So how will you actually operate? What will you actually be doing?
Yeah, so it's a six-month project that a group of adults will go through together. So you could think of it like a course, except that we're not teaching, we're facilitating. So it's really about what you bring to the group. And we want to learn from not-for-profits and social enterprise in Adelaide. So it's very heavy on collaboration. So, for example, we might have a topic that's about consumption and, you know, and materialism. So we'll invite a not-for-profit in that works in the environment sector. We'll learn from them what are the best ways that we can make different choices in our own lives to contribute to the environment or to live more in harmony with the environment. So there'll be lots of opportunities to promote other causes in Adelaide as well. But it's very much a personal growth journey, and what you put into it is what you will get out. And we hope that at the end you will have a stronger sense of personal meaning and connection to the place that you live. I think we probably would love to know everybody in our street and feel that we were part of something, and that's really what we're very passionate about at the project.
Is it just going to be based in Adelaide, or is there plans for it to be interstate as well?
Sure, the long-term vision is absolutely to take it all over the world, because it's you know, it's really got that application. It's a six-month program, or it could be 3 months. You know, we're still at that sort of testing phase. Because it's localised to that place, it really can be rolled out anywhere, and it's about, like, how do we connect with each other? So absolutely, that's our big dream.
Yeah.
You'll be writing a curriculum, will you? Will there be guidelines?
Yeah, there will be. So there'll be six different conscious living topics that we will, you know, make available when we're promoting the project. Importantly, we don't have a set agenda to make people believe certain things. That's really significant in the way that we deliver this. So there'll be sharing of information and lots of storytelling and experience together. But there's no, you know, there are no hard and fast rules about what you should be believing if you come out the end of this project. Yeah.
And how do you see the interaction between these, I guess, individual choices that people can make and that we can hopefully, you know, learn from each other to make? How do you see the interaction between that and, I guess, changes or impacts on systems and structures that lead to a lot of the big problems that we've got that we're trying to
individualize? Sure, thank you. That's a really great question, because I think we were just talking about earlier, in today's state of affairs, if you have, you know, any touch on what's happening in federal politics, it's easy to become very disaffected about change in our country. And I think that the impact of the individual has sort of been, the feeling of that has sort of been lost, and we really want to bring that back, because, you know, there's that great, it went around the internet a couple of weeks ago, who am I? I'm just one person. Who cares if I use a plastic straw? But if 1 billion people say that, that's 1 billion straws. So we can talk about community and country and at a national level, but it's all individuals. It's all made up of individuals. So what we do as one person really absolutely does make a difference, and we would love to remind people of that. So whether it's as consumers, you know, the idea that if nobody wanted to buy packaged veggies anymore, then they wouldn't stock them at the shops. It's like, that's the power we really do have as individuals, and that's how movements happen. So I'm a very big believer in the power of one person's actions.
That's wonderful, isn't it? You mentioned CEO.
Yeah.
Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Sure.
I know you were at that.
Launch,
weren't you?
So CEO was launched, the Adelaide chapter or arm, I'm not sure the right term, on Friday afternoon. It's new to Australia, but it started in Canada, if I'm right. If Moira's listening, I'm sure I've already said something wrong. But the idea is that it's women investing in women. So there'll be a group of activators that come together who contribute $1,100, and it will go into a pool, which will then support women-led business in the startup phase. So it's a bit like microfinance, if you're familiar with that model, and it means that money will go in and come out again. There'll always be a pool of money to support women-led business. And, of course, I'm very passionate about that. Less than 4% of women-led businesses receive venture capital funding, so it's pretty dire, straits that we're in. So this kind of model makes it... It's women supporting women in business, and it's very exciting. And if you do want to become an activator, you can be someone that contributes that $1,100 and is part of that big movement for change and supporting women-led businesses. Just jump on the SHEEO website.
And that's SHE, isn't it? S-H-E and then E-O.
That's right. Yeah, really wonderful initiative.
So do you want to tell us some more about your partners? In your team?
Yeah, sure. So we're very lucky. We've known each other for quite a long time, and we've got different strengths we bring to the team, which is obviously a wonderful thing of having any kind of team. We've got two girls that are based in WA. They do a lot of the online support. My sister is in the team, so I'm very lucky. I'm actually one of four girls in my family as well, so I'm used to working with ladies. Oh, are you? And my sister Karen is our visual storyteller. She can really take what I'm saying and putting it into a beautiful picture and to help us convey those messages. We have Kirsty Palmer, who's based here in Adelaide as well. She's our environment champ, so she keeps an eye on all of the wonderful things that are happening in Adelaide. And I have to say, we're very lucky to be in South Australia when it comes to the environment, because I know that compared to our family in WA, even in our district or our council, the ability to be able to, compost green veggies and stuff like that. We're really lucky for the facilities that we have here. So, anyway, that's a sidetrack. And then Nicole Harvey is also based in WA. We worked together for 5 years at a company called Scope Global, which is based here in Adelaide. And our passion for making a change is very palpable in our team meetings. There's a lot of energy among the team, and I think that really makes a difference when you're doing something that is a bit outside the norm.
And how did you start up, Nicola? Where did you guys get the idea? And is it something that was born out of Chooks SA, or did you all meet? I mean, obviously not your sister, you probably met her beforehand, but yeah. How did it all start up?
It's funny, I've just been asked that recently, and it was such an evolution of an idea. I don't know a specific one time when we were clear about what it is we were doing. I left my corporate job in September last year, and I am really interested and passionate about personal growth, so that's where I started out. And from there, I really wanted to extend that into the community and the environment and contextualise that. So I don't know. Sort of February, I think, we started.
Sounds like more of an organic process, I
definitely.
Guess.
Definitely. Yeah. We've just finished crowdfunding for our startup funds, which is really exciting. So we smashed that out of the park. Thank you so much to all of our family and friends that supported us in doing that. But it means that our vision is landing with people, so that's very validating.
And so there's a launch in February?
Yeah, so the official launch will be in February. We're doing a foundation workshop in November, 11th of November, which will be the first opportunity to experience what the project will be like. So that's our next activity post-crowdfunding that we're working really hard on. And then, kicking off the project in February next year.
That sounds like a bit of a pilot, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Try out. Excellent. Did you hit your goal with your crowdfunding?
We beat our goal by $2,000, actually. Wow. So, we're absolutely delighted and surprised.
Awesome.
And, very grateful. I guess that made us really nervous as well, how to design the crowdfunding. And the platform that we used is called Start Some Good. They actually reached out and said, we love the way that you've done this. Can we use your crowdfunding as a case study for other, initiatives? And I had to laugh because I just followed the steps that they encouraged us to use.
Oh, that's really good.
Did
them really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really happy with the way that went. It's still even hard to sort of let in the amount of gratitude, like let all of that positive affirmation from people land and sit with us. So we're just sort of processing that now.
So, Nicola, can you tell us, how would a person start? What and give us a little bit of an outline of what the journey would be like?
Sure. So I think it's easy to become overwhelmed by all of the things that are going wrong on the planet. And sometimes that we end up, just feeling like there's no option for us, and we perhaps turn a blind eye. And this is something we would love to break down. And whether it's through Conscious Living Project or your own journey, there are absolutely ways to get started to start to move out of that sense of overwhelm and into how can I take some tiny steps. So my advice would be that it really is tiny steps. So if there's a range of things that you perhaps know you could do in your home that would be more environmentally friendly, just pick one and make that a habit. And once that is a habit and you feel comfortable with that, move on to the next thing. So when it comes to, I think, any form of change that we want to make sustainable in our lives, it has to be through baby steps and being super kind to yourself. So, we're so easy to beat up on ourselves for, I mean, to be honest, the other night I was given a plastic cup at the CEO event, and I was really mean to myself later. I was like, I didn't even think about it. I just took the plastic cup. And, you know, lots of forgiveness and kindness, I think, is really a beautiful strategy for it to move forward. And I would encourage people to go towards things that make them feel good. So if you are really passionate about perhaps, you know, the issue of homelessness in Adelaide, get in touch with those organisations, find out what it is that you can do. And on a really basic level, if you do meet someone that's sleeping rough on the street, give them a smile. There's so much that can be done just through this, you know, transmitting of really positive feelings towards a person that can make a significant difference.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing, isn't it, that if you see somebody that's homeless, you tend to look away, you tend to avoid looking them in the eye, and it's awful. It must feel terrible to be in their shoes.
Absolutely.
And I guess there's also nothing wrong with giving them some money as well if you've got some tangible help.
Yeah, and I think it's coming back to that level of humanity. We actually are all connected. Whether we feel it or not, we're all connected to each other as humans, and we're connected to the environment as well. That's how we're allowed to exist here on the planet. So remembering that and not being overwhelmed by all the things that are wrong, focusing on the things that are going really well and doing what you can as one person to make that difference.
I'm wondering, like, people who are isolated and lonely, how will you find them? Because, you know, they're isolated.
Yeah,
sure. So do you take referrals, or how will you do that?
So the model that we will use is really to offer education and connection to existing services. So we're really not trying to reinvent the wheel. And we would work through community organisations to find those people, and through lots of conversations, lots of networking, face-to-face engagement, so that there's, you know, we're about sharing stories and hitting people in the heart.
No, your project sounds wonderful, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it happen.
Thank you.
In February 19.
Yes, that's right. What year is it next year, 2019?
Yeah, I have to think then.
My other question was going to be about how people can get involved with a project or find out more. How can they keep in touch?
Sure. So we are one of the things we're using funding from the crowdfunding initiative is to build a website. So we don't have our own website yet, but we are on Instagram. That's the best place to find us. It's conscious.living.project. And also, if you are in this field and you are a women-led business, please jump on Chooks SA. You'll find me in there on the daily. We'll probably have more channels for that later, but Instagram is a great place to find us for now.
And there's some wonderful things happening now, isn't there, in terms of startups and for women, things like Chooks SA.
Yes.
And also there's Shifted.
Yeah.
We were both at that.
And, yes.
From the New Venture Institute and Kick Coffee.
Yes.
Kick Catering. And that was wonderful. And that's a six-month course that's broken down to once a month.
That's right. Yeah.
And what were your impressions of that?
So I think just as a background to that, we're very lucky. I feel like I've just fallen into this sort of world at exactly the right time. There's so much going on. There's heaps of support for startups, and regardless of what industry you're in. So New Ventures Institute at Flinders is, it's just really pumping out some amazing support and great mentoring. So I'm also part of Venture Dorm, which is offered through NVI, a pre-accelerator program for startups. And then Shifted, the social impact venture series that you mentioned, is specifically for social enterprise and not-for-profits as well, and charities. And it means that we can take ourselves more seriously now. You know,
it's
serious. We're going to have an impact on the world. And I think by joining together social impact and business, we've got a really good chance of doing that. And we're so lucky that the founders of these wonderful social enterprises in South Australia are really willing to share their knowledge back. I'm really blown away, actually, by how willing people are to support you. And I haven't experienced that in other sectors of the working world.
So I don't think it happened here before either.
Sure.
I think it's a growing thing because people are realising that we have to be together.
Yes, absolutely.
Have that impact.
It's a revival of community. I feel like I'm just really grateful to be here right now because it's a very good time to be here. And the Shifted series, which is being held at the old RAH on Thursdays, you could just look up Shifted. It's shift.ed, and they're only $15 per masterclass, so it's very accessible for anyone in social business. And or if you're just interested in how could we be involved in making a difference through business.
And I really liked the way that they highlighted the difference between a social venture and a charity.
Yes.
And a charity perpetuates the same old, whereas a social venture is about people, it's about reciprocity, it's about people working together.
Yes, and sustainability. We're talking about long-term impact and the ability to, you know, help shape systems and the economy through, you know, because people want to buy things. For example, if you need to buy, let's say a gift for somebody and you go to the fair trade store or, you know, there's a sense of, there's a good feeling about that purchase because you know that it is a transaction, you've given money, but it's also going towards a social good. So if you had those two options, you had two things that were the same and one was going to make a contribution to a school in Africa and one was just going to go to a profit business, you get the choice and I know which one I would be choosing. You know, that's. I think this is the way of the way of the future without sounding too Star Wars-y.
We should be more Star Wars-y, I think. Star Trek, at least.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, Nicole. Were there any other, I guess, lasting thoughts or anything that you wanted to impart on people that we haven't really had a chance to say yet?
I think it's just to touch on that, the power of the individual again and no matter who you are or what stage in life you're at or what your experience is, you matter and everything you do in the world matters. And I encourage you to remember that. You are really significant as a person and the world really needs you to flourish and be your most beautiful self. That's the best way we can grow our communities and to have a really great life because at the end of the day, we all want to feel good and we don't have to feel guilty about that either. So remember how important you are and really go for it when it comes to following your passion and your purpose.
Yeah. I'd just like to mention too that before we change topics, about you're on a working group for B Corps.
Yeah, that's right. It's again, so we're talking about social business models. B Corp is a certification that's available to businesses to apply for should they want to be recognised for the way that they consider the community and the environment in the way they do their business. So it's a really great online platform. If you're already running a business and you think, yeah, we're pretty good, we do some good things for the community, jump on and see what your score is. It's really possible that you're already touching these milestones. And again, B Corp, being a B Corp is a way to get recognised for doing good. And hopefully as that brand continues to grow recognition, more and more people will go towards B Corp certified businesses. So,
and people don't realise that a B Corp can be a bank. Like,
that's right.
I'm advertising here, which we're not supposed to do, but Beyond Bank is one example. And they're a B Corp. And
yes,
it's a wonderful thing because they're obviously out to make a profit, but they do good as well.
Absolutely. Exactly.
And free range futures. That's another one.
An ethical bank. Now I've heard it all.
Absolutely. But it works. Yeah. It works. And they also, Beyond Bank, give money to, you know, various charities around the place. And and the Hutt Street Centre is one place that runs on that sort of model as well. And, yeah, it's the way to go. It's the way of the future.
Absolutely.